Well, we've looked for our ways of helping teachers without compromising the student experience, without compromising the feedback, and in ways can we actually improve the feedback the students receive.
Hello, and welcome to the Arts of Language podcast with Andrew Poudois, founder of the Institute for Excellence in Writing, or as many like to say, IEW. My name is Julie Walker, and I'm honored to serve Andrew and IEW as the Chief Marketing Officer. Our goal is to equip teachers and teaching parents with methods and materials which will aid them in training their students to become confident and competent communicators and thinkers. So, Andrew, we are launching this podcast in the month of April. And in April, according to our syllabus, our teachers are grading Unit 7, Unit 8, the longer papers. Yeah. So I thought it would be good for us to spend some time talking about how to grade so many papers, especially these longer ones. And I came up with a few ideas. Some are good and some are bad.
Good, because I have very few ideas on this subject, but we have experts.
We do. So the nice thing about grading or evaluating or marking papers, as Dr. Webster, that was the term he
marking,
used.
Marking, yeah.
Yes, marking, is it's easier because you have clear expectations. I like to reference the four deadly errors of teaching writing, your conference talk, your article about clear expectations. If the students know what they're supposed to do, they can do it confidently. If they don't know what they're supposed to do,
everybody's frustrated.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So our checklists provide clear expectations. So I like it when in the structure and style for students, you would coach the students, check what you do and do what you check.
Yes.
Exactly.
I loved it when I said that.
I know. It was the first time I said it.
I thought, oh, that's good.
Because what we do with the checklist is we give that to the students and they're supposed to check off their checklist.
Right. So the teacher's job should be pretty minimal.
In terms of verifying
the dress-ups, openers, topic clinchers, all that stuff.
Exactly.
But when you get into the 5-6 paragraphs and more, then it definitely takes time. A lot of time to do it well. Even though it's simplified, it still takes a lot of time.
But we also know, and I'm thinking about your talk about skills and how skills to improve skills, you have to practice. And writing is a skill because it ends in ing. Did you want me to give you this talk? No, I'm just totally kidding. It's your talk. But this whole idea of you have to do it more to be better at it, which then makes IEW writing teachers have the added burden of assigning more papers.
Right. Well, and according to the National Council of Teachers of English, the number one reason that students don't do more writing in school, teachers don't want to deal with it.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, we've often coached people, hey, you don't have to grade every single paper, right? You can grade one a month or do whatever you need to, but don't overburden yourself with this, you know, marking and grading chore, because if you do, you'll become like one of those teachers that says, I can't do this anymore. And then you'll do either give fewer opportunities for children's writing, or you'll just quit.
Well,
we don't want anyone.
We don't want either one of those.
Quit.
No, yeah. that's true. And so, you know, going back to the four deadly errors, one of the four deadly errors is withholding help. We don't want teachers to withhold help from their students, but we also at IEW want to be able to continue to provide tools to teachers to help them with that.
And that's why we're here today.
Oh my goodness. I just am beyond excited about introducing our guests today, Joseph Tabankin and Heidi Thomas. Heidi Thomas is one of our own accredited instructors. She teaches online classes for us. She's actually one that is very involved in writing curriculum for us. Mm-hmm. So she knows, I would say definitely within the top five people in the world that knows IEW, Heidi Thomas fits in that very elite club.
Wow.
So Heidi, welcome to our podcast. We're so glad to have you here.
Thank you.
Well, and then we also have Joseph Tabankin, who we just providentially found, or he found us.
He just dropped out of heaven into
he
our
did.
Lap.
He did. And he said,
I can solve your problems.
I can solve your problems. And so we immediately partnered him with our resident expert. Well, not so resident because she doesn't live here in Oklahoma, but she certainly is in
can
our
you, can you community. Be a virtual resident?
Yes. Well, today you can, certainly. So I would like for Joseph and Heidi to talk about this new tool and what problems we're trying to solve. Welcome, Joseph.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. Yeah, I'm very excited to talk about the tool that we built. It's called IEW Gradebook. And the goal is to make grading easier for the teachers. What we've seen is teachers do a lot of work to make their grading processes more efficient, to try and make it effective and handle all of the papers that they have to grade. And it's incredible to see what they've done. And we found ways to make it a lot easier and organize it for them and take on some of that burden so that they can have some of their time back. So I think we should start with some of the things that make grading challenging for the teachers, what makes it hard for them to do and takes a lot of their mental energy. So first and foremost is organizing. Before you even start grading a paper, you have to know what papers to grade. You have to gather them. If your students are submitting online in particular, you're collecting them via email, you're downloading attachments, maybe you're using a learning management system and you're getting papers flung at you from all directions, but just knowing what you have to grade is the first hurdle. Because especially in an online world, you don't have the benefit of that pile of papers that you can see in front of you. It might be a big pile, but at least you can see it and you can touch it. But in the digital world, you can lose sight of that, and that can add a lot of stress and tension already. And we've seen some amazing ways teachers have tried to grapple with this. And that's one of the first things the tool helps you with is it organizes all of your papers all in one place. It puts them on your homepage so that you can see your pile. You can see how many papers you have to grade. You can see how many you've already graded. You can see if you only have one evening or maybe your whole weekend's free now because you've done all your
grading. So this is a proprietary web-based application that can import from various sources or people can send directly to, and you get all the papers. It made me think that, yeah, you know, it's funny. A two-dimensional pile is just a lot worse than a three-dimensional pile because at least right. With a three-dimensional pile, you know how many things are piled up. So I've experienced that in kind of an endless stream of things. So you can do that.
Yeah. So as you said, it's web-based. So it's a website you can go to where you can see that digital pile. Once you have your paper in there, we have your IEW checklist that you've come to love on the right-hand side. It's, as Julie's noted, one of the first places you can see the checklist and the student's paper side by side. Mm-hmm. Even often with the physical world, you're flipping back and forth. In a lot of digital spaces we've seen, teachers have their books open. They've got maybe 2-3 monitors open just so they can have all the information they need. IEW Gradebook brings all the information you need all into one place for you. And you've got your student checklist on one side and the student's paper on the other side. And one of the big things that we love about IEW Gradebook is it also hunts through the paper for you. So it tries to take on all of those tasks that teachers have to do that aren't essential to the feedback process so that they can focus on the feedback. So what are some of those things? Well, hunting for your topic clincher sentence in the final sentence, right? Gradebook pulls that out of the paper and just shows it to you when you need it. Dress-ups, finding all of your underlined LY adverbs. For example, Gradebook will pull those out, put them on the side so that you can see them, review them, and provide feedback to the student.
That's nice because they may use the same LY adverb in all five paragraphs of a five-paragraph composition. And you might not notice that just reading through, but you're saying you can actually see, oh, those are all the same word. This child could use a little more breadth of vocabulary.
Which legally and technically that would be allowed, but as they get older, you kind of want them to vary their vocabulary.
Sure. Well, you know, Webster was always of the opinion that if you saw something you didn't like, you could make a rule to end that. So, for example, if a student was always using the same clausal opener every single paragraph, you could make a rule. You can't use the same clausal opener more than twice in five paragraphs or whatever you want to do. So That's handy. I'm assuming now that the checklist can be selected, or the things on the checklist would be selected to match the assignment that was given for the composition. So it's very fluid in that way.
Well, this is why it's so important to have Heidi in on the development of this, is because these assignments are connected to our IEW curriculum. So if you're using structure and style for students, if you're using our theme-based writing lessons, then you will have that checklist in gradebook and it will work for that student.
Oh, really? So you could go to Ancient History Lesson 23 or something.
That's exactly right.
And get the checklist exactly for that.
Exactly right.
Now, is it modifiable even after you pull that?
There are ways for teachers to adjust it. And Heidi, do you want to speak to that?
Yeah.
Because that is something that, you know, that Easy Plus One, not every student is on the same level of Easy Plus One. So we want to be able to have that flexibility.
So IEW Gradebook is the first time we've had the opportunity or the ability to have the checklist and the student's paper in the same document. You know, when we're using our curriculums, we have the checklist is on a piece of paper, right, that the students can tear out of the book, or we can go to checklist generator, or we can go to the reproducible checklist, and we have them in different formats, but we don't ever have them together on the same exact paper or in the same document. So IEW Gradebook allows us to bring it all together into one place. The checklist that you see in IEW Gradebook is the same as the checklist that you would see in our written curriculum. But what we've made sure that IEW Gradebook does is that it's flexible. It provides room for the teacher who needs to make concessions for a student, right? So IEW Gradebooks does make suggestions at times. It does tell you what the number of points assigned on a checklist are for the topic clincher rule, or for, you know, the LY adverb, or even for the decorations. But a teacher can always give no partial or full credit.
So you can override, basically.
Yeah. Teacher's in control.
Does it have the capacity to add in custom comments?
Yes. And not only, so we have the ability for the teacher to insert comments right in the student's paper, as you would as if you were handwriting with a pen, or if you were writing, you know, in Google Docs or Microsoft Word. So you can do that. But we've gone one step further, and we've built in comments that teachers can add with a click, right, that reflect the wording that we have in the curriculum or that they've heard you say in the videos. So when it talks about the need for the clincher to repeat or reflect the topic, we have it right there so that the student who has not done that, the teacher can immediately add it. We also have several built-in praise comments so that we can use the same wording that's in the curriculum to give guidance in the paper.
You know, years and years and years ago, before there were such things as AI and editable online documents, I had this dream, because I spent so much time staring at student papers, I hated it. But I had this dream, like, I should create a document that has every comment that I ever have written on a student paper, because you end up writing the same thing, you know, again and again and again. And I would number them. And then I would just put, instead of the whole comment, I would just put the number of the comment that I would write and give them the piece of paper with all the numbered comments so they could just look at it and say, oh, number 17, what's that? And then I thought that would be very efficient. And I even kind of started working on it at one point, but it just never became a priority for me. And then I pretty much stopped having to teach many student classes.
You know, one of the beautiful things of working with Joseph on this project has been he has the ability to do these time-saving things to make us more efficient and to make us more effective. And what he did in the beginning was look at what are teachers doing who can grade many papers? How are they doing it? And what you described, Andrew, is something that we've discovered many teachers have. They have some form of perhaps a Microsoft Word document that's labeled Ancient History-Based Writing Lesson 15. And these are all the comments that I tend to make on Lesson 15 assignments, and they're cutting and pasting them in. And so that's what we have done, was we've taken some of those comments, right? And put them into IEW Gradebook. The ones that we've built in primarily deal with structure and style. But the comments that might have broader or things that particular teachers find they always say when it comes to an introduction or conclusion, they too can add those, and they can filter them by the particular curriculum they're using and the particular lesson or unit, so that you can always have certain things available when you're doing unit sevens or certain things available when you're doing unit three.
That is awesome. So a teacher will even be able to customize the list of comments that they can have automatically applied to the student paper.
Yes.
This is like way better than my imagined list of comments with numeric. One of my concerns was that the students would look at, okay, number 17, they don't care. So they're not going to go cross-index to find out what was my actual comment for number 17. But this would eliminate that whole thing because it would paste in exactly what you want.
Yeah, and that's, I think, a really important point, because I think there's a tension that exists in grading between making it easier for the teacher, but while still providing valuable feedback for the student, right? And the ultimate example of where that's failed is a Scantron. A Scantron is the ultimate ease for the teacher. They just put it in this machine and out pops an answer, but it's zero value for the student. The student doesn't get any good feedback. The way you have to design the questions, you know, makes the material worse. So what we've looked for are ways of helping teachers without compromising the student experience, without compromising the feedback, and in ways can we actually improve the students, the feedback the students received. And I think comments are a great way that's evident, right? Not only can the teacher add their own comments, they're the best formulations of what they've been able to come up with, but we've also been able to take everything from Heidi's brain and put it into the product, everything from your brain, Andrew, and put it into the product. So we've got the best comments that are contextually relevant, a click away for the teachers.
Heidi has written a blog that we'll link to in the show notes, and she's got some pictures of IEW Gradebook, and listener, we'll have a link for you,
and you
so that
see
you
exactly
can see exactly what we're talking looks, about, yeah. But give you an opportunity to try this yourself. Mm-hmm. But here are some of the comments. Nice. Okay, that's a nice comment. I know it's a banned word, but it's a great comment.
Because I never banned it.
That's a nice word. Must begin with a WWW word. Well, obviously they didn't get the clausal opener or dress up correct. Must include subject plus verb. So these might be comments that, according to this paper, we needed to be included. And you can see where they go. A sentence must follow the clause. Because of always begins a phrase. So that's the prepositional phrase versus the because clause.
Yes.
Because of is never a clause.
Right.
Yeah,
it's a number two, not a number five. And that's something really very specific
yep.
to what we
exactly,
do.
Exactly, what we're trying to teach students.
And so, perfect. Okay, what else?
So lots, place a comma after the clause. So an AC comma MC. So Heidi, what does AC comma MC actually stand for?
Adverb clause comma main clause.
Yep.
And the comments that you are reading there are ones specifically associated when this teacher is looking at the number five opener. And the number five opener is the adverb clausal opener, which always has a comma.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm guessing to accomplish this, we had to rely on some pretty modern, almost AI-based technology. What I'm thinking of, well, if someone writes a topic sentence, a clincher sentence that repeats or reflects two to three key words, it could be a matter of opinion about whether this word and that word are reflecting. Are they synonymous enough, close enough in meaning? So how did we do that?
Yeah, I would say it's using AI light. So we're not using anything like ChatGPT in the product yet. Artificial intelligence is a spectrum mm-hmm. in terms of what you can do with it. One thing we've tried to keep clear in our minds is that we're building an assistant for the teachers, and we're building something to help suggest information, not something to replace a teacher or take on the responsibility of grading. So everywhere where the quote unquote AI is assisting is it's just providing a suggestion, and the teacher's always in control. So the teacher has more context about where the student's at, what the student's learned, and at all times fully in control of what score the student gets and what kind of feedback they want to provide. But yes, under the hood, we're using some pretty fancy things to help make some of this magic happen. And we make it very clear when that is happening, but the teacher is always in control.
So Andrew, you have said before that technology that replaces a skill causes atrophy. You say what you say.
Technology will atrophy the skill which it replaces.
Yes.
So yes, is there a danger here?
Actually, and this is what I want Heidi to speak to because I am so excited about this. In this case, it's not true. It's actually helping the teacher teach IEW structure and style with more fidelity. And Heidi, I'd like you to speak to that for a moment.
Oh, I definitely think that's true in this case. So IEW gradebook is not going to magically tell you if a teacher or if a student followed the topic clincher rule. What it will do is when you click in the checklist to check for the topic and clinchers, it's going to show you body paragraph one, topic sentence, body paragraph one, clincher sentence side by side so that you can see them. And then it gives you a reminder. Does it follow the topic clincher rule? And it has enough there that you, if you are new to IEW, are like, wait a minute, what was that rule again? What am I looking for? It very easily, it points out to you exactly what you should be looking for as a teacher, so you can determine, did they do it right or did they not do it right? And then it shows you the second body paragraph, topic and clincher, the third body paragraph, topic and clincher. We have built that in to every stylistic component that we're looking for, every criteria that's on the checklist, reminding a teacher what they want to be seeing and looking for. In some cases, yes, if it's the LY adverb, it will tell you if it's indeed an adverb or an adjective. It will suggest that it's an imposter or not. It uses the IEW language. But for the teacher who is new to IEW or is questioning if they remember what it was that they had heard on the video or what had been taught, there's these quick things there to remind you what it is you want to be looking for.
Oh, nice. So this is a coaching program, a teacher coaching tool as well.
Oh, I love that word. Yes, this is a coaching tool. So what I am discovering, because we've started using this with beta testers, this has been exciting to me. I initially said IEW gradebook is going to benefit the SSS 2B teacher, the SSS 1C teacher, 2C teacher who has all these five paragraph and six paragraph and, you know, 12 paragraph essays coming in, and I've got to get through all of these and find all this. So I saw the efficiency of IEW gradebook. What I have been pleasantly surprised at is some of the newer to IEW teachers who have started using it with the beta testing have told me how much more confident IEW gradebook is making them in their assessment of if a student really did a because clause or if a student really did follow the title clincher, title final sentence rule.
So Heidi, also speak to the fact that, you know, you're going through that stack of papers, and by the time you get to the 85th paper, you're a little tired, and maybe you don't allow for as much grace or just the opposite. You let things slide. How does gradebook help with fatigue, grading fatigue?
Oh, you know, it keeps me on track. There's something, I am not a gamer. I do have four boys, though, who have been gamers. You know, there's something fun about clicking a mouse. So I like to say I run to the checklist. I start at the top of the checklist and I just go down each item and I just check to see if the student did what they were supposed to do. I can do it fairly easily. I can run the entire checklist with just the click of my mouse. And I can find that I can step away and come back and it stays right where I was. It's not like it keeps track of where I was, which makes it easy, right? What I find is I often will open somewhere between five and eight papers and I will run the checklist and just check, you know, did they do the title? Did they do the topic clinchers? Did they do the stylistic techniques? And then I get myself a cup of coffee or something and I sit down and I take the time to read the papers. And that's when I actually am checking content and seeing if they, you know, have complete sentences and stuff like that. But so it breaks up the way I'm grading. It sort of changed the way I'm grading. But I find that I'm enjoying it more because I'm not getting bogged down in reading a half a sentence and, oh, forgot the comma with the who, which clause. Wait, that who, which clause lost its verb, right? It keeps it all together for me in my mind and keeps me organized.
And many of the teachers talk about how when they're done grading, they just need to sit on the couch and relax. They can't do anything else. So if you think about it, grading is not only taking up often what is your most valuable time because you need to set aside your evenings and weekends when no one's going to interrupt you, but then it takes away the time after you're done grading as well. And a lot of that has to do with just all the things you have to juggle to grade.
Energy intensive activity.
Yeah. An analogy I've thought about is like holding a pen really tight. You're not going to be able to do anything with your hand after once you release it. So gradebook's taking all of that so you can write with a relaxed hand. You can grade with a relaxed mind. But it's taking on all those little things so that you can relax and, as Heidi said, have fun with it. It takes on all the organization for you, all the reminder. You know, one of the great features I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about is band words. It hunts the paper for all of your band words, all of the variations of the band words. Every teacher lights up when we show them that, no more control F, right? The number of times that they're hitting control F and doing say, said. If they're doing the entire list, you know, that's time consuming. Gradebook just has it right there.
You know what? There's some little features that Gradebook does. And this is the advantage of Joseph working with me because, you know, I have older eyes. And so was he's asking, okay, what makes grading difficult? What's hard? The students underline their dress ups, right? It's usually just a simple black underline, whatever the computer automatically does. But when you bring it into Gradebook, all underlines are sort of a bold and whatever color ink you ask them to be in. So in my case, all underlines are sort of a burgundy red. Literally, you can't miss them. I can even see the word if. I don't lose them anymore, right? They're there for me. And then as you click on each criteria to look at it, words glow. And I'm not exaggerating. They literally are highlighted yellow. So you easily see what you're looking for. I think just the eye strain of not having to search or remember, did I see it? Did I not see it? Those are little things that we don't think about. I would have told you that I was an extremely efficient grader. I'm one of those people who have always recognized that I have a job because I'm willing to grade. So I've embraced it. It's become easier with IEW Gradebook.
Yeah. And one thing I'd love to add to is, we really care about seeing what teachers are actually doing and how they're actually grading and how they're actually living and trying to make the software accessible. That's very important to us as a team. And one thing I've been very, very pleased to see, you know, technology can be intimidating, but we've had veteran teachers who, when they were asked to try it, said they're stuck in their ways, they're not going to like this. And after a couple of days, they can't live without it. And so, technology can be intimidating, but we've worked really hard to make it accessible and easy to use and helpful.
Heidi, I'm curious if you have kind of an estimate of how much time this saves you. Like if you in the pre-IEW Gradebook days, how long would you typically average spend on, say, a 5-paragraph composition? And then what's your time differential now? And obviously this, you know, changes from assignment to assignment, teacher to teacher, but what kind of percentage gain have you experienced?
You know, I've had other individuals ask me this, and I can't put a number on it because the reality is, you know, I can go through probably many times I would give myself 10 to 15 minutes in my mind for a stack of papers that I'm going to get through. And those first three, they're just fantastic. And you just fly through them, or they're so good that you have to stop and go to the kitchen and read it to somebody else in your family so they know how great it was, right? And then you get to this one where the student just does not understand that introductions have a different structure than body paragraphs. And you spend so much time that it slogs you and it slows you down, right? And so I feel like I've never been able to give a good average, but I do believe that it does shorten my time. So if I were giving, you know, 15 minutes to an extended, you know, unit 8 paper, I think I'm probably down to about 10 minutes, mainly because it keeps me focused. I'm no longer, have you heard, you know, like with the person who sees something and it's like squirrel and you're off here and you're off there. When you run the checklist, I just go through that criteria. And then I read the paper. It's a little different than the way I used to grade, but I'm no longer distracted by all these things as I'm going. It just keeps me on track.
And one thing we've heard pretty consistently from teachers using it is it also allows them to use their time more effectively. So pre-gradebook, grading had to be an all or nothing task. You're going to sit down and you're going to grade your stack or you're not going to do it. And often you'd have to save your distraction-free time. And really, when is that? That's evenings and weekends, your most valuable time. Gradebook now lets you sneak grading in between class, in between, you know, the kid down for a nap. It allows you to take control of when you do grading because it takes care of so much of the mental effort that you would normally have to do. And so even if it's not reducing time in every paper, it's allowing you to distribute that time throughout your day so that that more precious, valuable time is free.
Wow.
Well, the other thing that I just want to throw out there is the juggling thing doesn't have to happen anymore. Here's the student paper. Here's the checklist. Here's the teacher's manual. I mean, you've got to, if you're grading, you've got stuff. And here with IEW Gradebook, you need your computer. And it's all there on your screen, everything that you need.
Right. You know, the other thing is, it sounds minor. I always grade from my desktop because I have a large screen and I have old eyes. So, but the thing is when I download papers to my desktop, that's where they are, right? And if I start grading and am I interrupted, even if I have it, you know, could re-download it on my laptop, I've already partially done it. Because this is an online tool, it's always something I can access. I was at my son's house one day and my husband left. I thought I was just going to be there for a couple of minutes and I ended up getting stranded because they went off to fix something. I was able to log in on his computer and pick up right where I had left off at home and keep grading. Those little features are magical.
So let me just list some of the criteria and then let our listeners know where to find more. So what we are helping IEW teachers do is to upload either a Word document or a Google Doc into our gradebook web-based assistant.
Or a PDF? Will that work too? Not yet. Okay.
Those two things, Word and currently. And actually, one of the things that we're also working with is various learning management systems or LMSs. So currently, we can use Google Classroom. We can use Toolbox. By the time this launches, we should have Canvas up and running. But so it's a web-based, these are typed papers where the students have used the correct indicator. They have highlighted the topic clincher with their tools on their word processing tool. They've underlined the dress-ups. They put the sentence openers in the brackets. They have various, if they're using our tools correctly, it will make the teacher's job much easier. We'll track their papers, and we have an added feature where they can look at their classroom as a whole and say, oh, 80% of the students in this classroom got the topic clincher right. Whew, I must be teaching it right. Or 2% got the topic clincher right. Maybe that's a reflection on me as a teacher. I need to spend more time here. So that's that classroom where you can kind of look at it as a class. How's the whole class doing? And we have that built into it as well. So this is a subscription. There is a fee to use this, but we are allowing anyone just to try this for free, to test it. We've got some papers uploaded into the website that they can actually run it through themselves and see how it works and see, wow, yeah, I'd really like to see this. And I'm just going to say one more thing that we've mentioned, but I want to be very clear and very direct. Currently, the products that we have written, IEW has written, Structure and Style for Students, and a half dozen or so of our theme-based books, those checklists are in Gradebook. So our most popular IEW products, that's what this tool is for. So we're definitely looking for teachers who want to try this out, who want to get on our mailing list. We're not necessarily looking for any more beta testers because we have had some really great feedback. We're just about ready to launch, Andrew.
Well, it's an achievement. And it's been in the works for quite a while.
Yes.
And I'm sure that we will continue over the coming months and years to make it even better.
Yep.
And You said anyone can try it for free.
Yep.
Obviously, we still have our 100% unconditional satisfaction guarantee.
Yes.
And I'm very excited about it. I might have to fool around with it myself
to
see if I like it, even though I'm not planning to grade any paper anytime soon. Although, I'm going to teach my grandchildren writing class.
There you go.
So maybe it will be helpful. I'm going to need, though, Joseph, I'm going to need us to get to the point where I can take a handwritten paper from an 11-year-old boy and scan it in and then put it into the system, because I'm not giving up having those little kids turn their papers in.
Right.
Handwritten.
Sure.
That's definitely on the roadmap.
Heidi and Joseph, thank you so much. And on behalf of the thousands, tens of thousands of teachers who in the future will be benefiting from this, thank you for your hard work on this. We could not have done this without you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please subscribe to our podcast in iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify, or just visit us each week at iew.com/podcasts. Here you can also find show notes and relevant links from today's broadcast. One last thing, would you mind going to iTunes to rate and review our podcast? This really helps other smart, caring listeners like you find us. Thanks so much.